Welcome to episode 407 of Flyaway. Over the past few years, we've been reminded time and again how much the world relies on travel. From supporting local economies to learning about new cultures, the experience that travel provides helps to make our world smaller and bring us closer together. Here at Outlander Travel, we've been proud to be a small part of bringing that to you through our weekly podcast. If you'd like to see what we're talking about, be sure to check out our YouTube channel by searching for Flyaway Podcast. My name is George, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Elizabeth and Lindsay. Ireland is one of the most popular destinations in Europe for Americans. There are several reasons this could be true. Flights are fairly short between the East Coast of the U.S. and Ireland. Flights tend to be fairly inexpensive between the East Coast, and an amazingly high percentage of Americans can claim some sort of Irish roots in their family tree. You can look up the science on that data. We know it's true. Recently, Elizabeth, who has absolutely zero trace of Irish ancestry, went back to Ireland for her second time ever, this time exploring the northern reaches of the island, including Northern Ireland and the northern area of the Republic of Ireland. Instead of exploring on her own, she opted to take an escorted tour with CIE. As a solo traveler, this is a very popular way to go, so she wanted to see firsthand what it's like. So tonight we will hear about her itinerary and her experiences on this mystical journey. So let's get started. So it's funny that you wrote that intro, because I am actually third generation, I think, removed from Ireland. My great grandmother was from the Porta Down. So my mom's done genealogy, and she knows exactly where they lived and everything in the little town. So we've always talked about going over there to dig up and see if there's any of our relatives still living over there, but I haven't made it yet.
But so super common. And I think Lindsay and I've talked about this before. Lindsay, you're like Midwestern, so you should be all like Scandinavian, right? But you've got some Irish too, right?
I got a little bit Irish, but I was surprised to find that I was like 37% Finnish.
Oh, well, that's not surprising.
From Finland. Though. And I don't, in the, I don't know anybody in my family who, but Germany, and I would have assumed like Germany and things like that, because we've got a lot of German sounding names in our family, but. Anyway, Finland.
Yep.
Who would have thought? Yeah.
No Irish. A little bit of English, Irish. A little bit of Scottish. So it was supposed it may be some Irish, but nothing comes up on 23andMe. Nothing. Zero. Zilch.
I just got that Irish last name, that Kennedy.
Yes, exactly.
That's all I got.
That's kind of why I thought, yeah. So yeah, the tour was not what I wanted to do. I'll just be perfectly honest with you. I wanted to go to Scotland. But Scotland was sold out. And so I was trying to time this with my Italy trip and tag it on. And so I called CIE because I had a voucher. I was like, how can I go to Scotland with this? And she was like, well, can you go on this date? I was like, no, that's too late. I'd have to spend like a week in Europe just piddling around. And so looking at the date, she's like, well, we have this Northern Ireland trip. Yeah. Well,
I was going to say, there's the excuse you needed.
Yeah. That's the excuse I use all the time.
from wheels up to wheels down, I was in Europe for about 3 weeks. And as a mom of two boys who are rapidly growing out of my house, I'm like, that was enough. So, but this trip did actually span my birthday. So I got to celebrate my birthday by myself in Ireland, which was really nice actually. So she said, well, how about Northern Ireland? And I was like, oh, I haven't done that. And interestingly enough, the tour that Lindsay and I did years ago that we sort of handpicked things, I thought, oh, there's going to be these repeats. But as it turns out, the only thing that I repeated, there were two things, the Cliffs of Moher and Galway, shopping in Galway. Other than that, everything else was different. I went to Dublin, which I'd done before, but I did different things in Dublin. So it turned out actually pretty well, even though it wasn't my first choice of destination. So still haven't gotten back to Scotland, but maybe one day.
Yep, that's on my bucket list too.
Yeah, I got to do it. Got to do it.
So you took the tour called Mystical Ireland. Was it truly mystical?
Mystical. So I guess, I don't know why they call it that, because I feel like the Republic of Ireland was more, but I do think that there was some places that we went that are kind of mystical, like the Giant's Causeway. So I think that that's why they named it that. But if you're looking for it, it is Mystical Ireland. And then there's actually, I didn't realize this honestly till I got on the bus, proving once again that as a travel agent, I know everything and I know nothing. The Classic Ireland Tour is the Mystical Island Tour, plus another week in the southern part of Ireland. So there were a lot of people on the bus with me who continued on after I got off the bus. They continued on to do the southern Ireland part, which would have been a lot of repeats of what Lindsay and I had done when we went before. So, for most people on the bus, it was a 2-week trip. And it's kind of nice that it has that flexibility where they can sort of, you know, share the space. An escorted tour is something that I haven't done a lot of. My very first trip to Europe was an escorted tour, Perillo tours back in the days, 14 mm-hmm. nights in Italy. And so that I did the motor coach tour and I definitely liked it for what it was. A lot of people poo-poo a motor coach tour, but there is no way to see as much in a small amount of time. I mean, honestly, it is busy and there's definitely downfalls to it. So I wanted to see the modern motor coach tour because a lot of vendors will tell us in trainings and presentations, oh, but we're different from your typical motor coach tour. I'm like, but are you? So I really wanted to see firsthand. And I was impressed. I will say that in a post-COVID world, they're not filling up the motor coaches. So had that motor coach had 50 people on it, yeah, I might not have liked it as much. I'm definitely a small group person. It was a full-size motor coach with 25 people on it. And that was great. That was absolutely
great. Because everyone had space
and nobody sat next to me. I was there as a solo traveler. The last thing I want to do is like squeeze in with some coffee person that I've never met before, for close quarters. And you are on the bus a lot. Part of the way that they show you so much is you travel a lot. It's nice because it's all taken care of for you. So you don't have to, haul your stuff around, but it's still, you got to get from A to B, and it takes the same amount of time on a motor coach as it does in a car if you were driving yourself. So,
yeah. And this way you get to listen to the stories. Hopefully you have if you got a good guide, and CAE
or take a nap
is known for that. A lot of their guides have been with them for a long time.
Yes. And CIE and my guide was no exception to that. And CIE is the National Tourism or Transportation Department of Ireland. So they have this branch that is their tourism branch, but they run the trains. They run it's the Department of Transportation for Ireland. So, at first you think, okay, then it's a government thing and it's not going to run so well, but honestly, they know their stuff for sure. And, they really do specialize, and you definitely have people who know the area, who know what they're talking about, who know the stories, for sure. Yeah.
That was my first trip to Ireland, was with CIE. It was a school trip that we did through CIE, but having that local person really makes such a big world of difference. And if you have to compromise and you're sharing a space with some other people, but I wouldn't have gotten any of that. I wouldn't have known any of that, the things I learned.
Yeah. Well, and I will say I do go undercover when I do a trip like this. I paid full price for this trip. I did not tell anyone I was a travel agent until about 5 days in. Eventually you get outed because, somebody asks you what you do for a living, and I don't lie. But I try to avoid the truth for as long as I can, because I don't want anybody to know. And my guide didn't know I was a travel agent until probably 2 days before the end of the tour. And her face was so funny. She was like, because she had said a few things. She was very honest on the tour, let me just say, sometimes about home office. She probably wouldn't have said that if she'd known, but I like that. I want, sometimes when we do these trips and as a podcaster, we have to reveal when we get trips given to us, or so when I don't have to do that, when I can be me and experience a trip just the way that anybody else would, I 100% take advantage of that. Yeah.
That's how I find myself in that situation all the time, because I do a lot of solo travel and I'm always trying to make, and whenever I can, make sure no one knows that what I do, because it does change how they act in front of us. I think sometimes, unfortunately.
Yep. And I did do this partially because I knew I was going to be a solo traveler. And this is probably the most common way for a solo traveler, especially a woman, to travel is an escorted tour, because it is so safe. And I mean, you have somebody looking out for you. But it's also interesting as someone who doesn't normally travel solo. I know, Lindsay, you're very used to it, although I'm sure you can attest to all of these experiences, but everybody looks at you kind of sideways when you show up at the first welcome drinks and they're like, what is her story? And they're looking at your finger to check out if it's got a ring on it. And,
yeah. Sometimes it's that. And then sometimes it's invisibility. I think I get a little bit of both. I get a little bit of the side eye and I get a little bit of the, oh, we didn't even know you were there.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of okay with that.
Yep,
depending on if I want to be social or not social at all. But
exactly. And I did try to draw, because I'm an introvert, as you guys know. And so for me, part of this was I'm going to sit quietly and have my breakfast and read. Like, I'm totally okay with that. And yep. So many people are like, don't you want to come sit with us? I'm like, no, I'm good. So I did the old, let me have my coffee first, and honestly, they were very lovely people. I was delighted to sit with them. But first thing in the morning, let me just have my coffee and read my book that I never have time to read because I'm always working. And I'm a happy camper. So yeah, I made the most of, and I ended up spending, and we can talk through the itinerary, but I ended up spending my birthday pretty much by myself with a little bit of exception. And people were very upset about that at first. But then I think, I said no enough that they were like, okay, cool.
So the tour itself started in Dublin.
It did.
Now, what resort did you stay at, and does CIE give you different tier options depending on whether you want a luxury hotel or a standard type thing?
Good question. It's like you're a travel agent or something.
Wow.
Yeah, no. So they don't give you choices, okay. At least for this tour, they didn't. There are opportunities to take tours that are more luxury focused. Like if you want a tour of castle stays where you just stay in castles the whole time, then you could do that for sure. Was more of a budget product, more of a sort of nice and in some cases quite nice, but not luxury product. I did pay full price for this, so I had to be able to afford it on my travel agent salary. It was, so they actually put us up at Hyatt Centric, the Liberties, it's called the Liberties, that area of Dublin, because it was originally outside of the city, but it's actually right at St. Patrick's and within walking distance of Temple Bar. It's right where you want to be, honestly. I was very happy to be there. It is a brand new hotel with zero parking, and every taxi driver and every bus driver that I encountered told me that they hated it. They're like, why would you build a brand new hotel and not put any parking in? They were very angry about it. I didn't care because I wasn't driving, but the hotel was very modern, lots of USB ports, lots of convenience. There isn't a whole lot like right around it. There was a little pub down the street that I did eat at one night when I was on my own, but I went down to Temple Bar the other night. So I did a pre-night. Technically, we were only there for one night. If you did that full tour that went 2 weeks, they're in Dublin at the end of the tour for a couple of nights. So there's not much time in Dublin at the start, which was fine by me because since I'd been to Dublin. I walked down to Temple Bar the first night and I went to the new Irish Whiskey Museum, which is it's brand new, really. In fact, my tour guide hadn't even been there yet and she's very experienced. It's right at the university there where the Book of Kells and all that is. So, fun experience. We did a whiskey blending. Wasn't really what I was expecting it to be. It was kind of, very basic, not a whole lot of whiskeys to blend, but I learned a lot. They also gave us a bottle to say we were promised we would have our own whiskey sample to take home.
Oh, I didn't drink cute. Anything.
If you're on YouTube and you can see this, this is what I got to take home. So aww. I didn't drink any of it. They didn't give us much then you had to taste it, of course, because you wanted to see what it tasted like before you blended it. And then there wasn't much there to blend. So even if I had put all four together into that, it wouldn't have filled it. I mean, it's still worth going. I had a great little tour. It's a little touristy. I have no regrets about doing it, but definitely not. The bar was fantastic though. I had a great tasting in the bar on my own. So do recommend that. And you can go to the bar and not pay the admission to the museum. The museum is definitely educational, but you can, if you just have limited time, you can do that. And then I went to a restaurant that my sister had recommended to me. She had been there on a business trip and had gone. It's a restaurant called Wild, and it's in a hotel there not far from Temple Bar. And it was absolutely fantastic. It was really, really great. I had my first Moldovan wine there, where they had a wine there that was from Moldova. The sommelier was Moldovan. So she suggested it. And she's like, most people don't want to do it because it's taking a risk. I'm like, sign me up.
Bring it on.
Yeah, bring it on. Loved it. So had a great dinner there, but, then the tour really started the next day, and it was really just a city tour by bus. And then we got out and saw the, Dublin Castle, which again, Lindsay and I did not do on our first tour as part of the organized tour. We did not go to St. Patrick's Cathedral. We did not go to Christchurch. We did not do any of the stuff that we had done on the first tour, which was great for me. We also didn't go to the Guinness storehouse, so I didn't get to replace my mug that my son stole and then broke. I did enjoy my time there. And of course, the group that continued on the whole tour got to do that on their way back through Dublin. So one night in Dublin, and then we went on to Belfast, and we went through Downpatrick, which is basically, we were sort of following a trail of St. Patrick, a cathedral where he's buried, is the cathedral where he's buried, not a cathedral. They didn't chop him up and bury him in lots of different places. Is there very interesting. And then up to Belfast, which I had never been to, and was fascinated by it. Our first stop was very touristy. It was the Crumlin Road Jail, which was a big jail there, and actually even factored into the Troubles, but it was now defunct. It was very much like Alcatraz, actually. It was that same sort of tour where they told the fascinating stories of the prisoners who were there, and it's mostly self-guided, that sort of thing, but very interesting. And then we did the Titanic Museum, which was also very interesting. I've only heard good things about it, and it did not disappoint. You could also look out and see the studios where Game of Thrones is filmed. It is a big warehouse, just like any movie studio is. But we saw it. I took a picture for Chris. I haven't even shown them the picture because it's pointless, but fascinating place, totally worth it. And everybody who I told I was going to Belfast to said, are you going to the Titanic Museum? Like, that's apparently the only thing to see there. But while I was there, we also did a walking tour, which I'm very glad I did, because they introduced sort of the closes and the little alleyways that you would totally miss if you just walked through Belfast on your own. You would think that if you went down there, you would be shot or mugged because you're an American and you're used to that. But these places are really adorable. And the city was done up for pride. So I walked through several disco ball ridden hallways that are outdoors, and it was great. Went to the oldest pub in Ireland. Well, no, I didn't go to Sean's pub, but the oldest pub in Northern Ireland, I believe, continually operating. So it was great. And there we stayed at the Hyatt, which is basically on the waterfront near near Conference Center. So, I mean, the location was fine. I don't know enough about Belfast to know if I should have been in a different place, but enjoyed it. Yeah.
Cool.
So, did you go see King's Road? So when I did Northern Ireland, I did the Game of Thrones. I did a couple different things, but I did the Game of Thrones tour so that I could go see where all the, did you do the Carrickeread? Did you do the bridge when you were at the Giant's Causeway? The Rome Bridge?
So we took pictures of it. Yeah. So, and to be honest, like, our bus did go by some of those sites. I've never seen Game of Thrones. I read the books, but I never saw the show. So I don't know those places. So there was this famous church that was in Game of Thrones that we all took pictures of, but I'm sure Chris would recognize it if I showed it to him. Yeah. But we did take pictures of the bridge. And honestly, I looked at it. I was like, yeah, I'm not going there. It's cool though. I mean,
I stood in line and walked all the way out there just to get to the part of where you got to go down these stairs to get on the bridge. And the stairs were too much for me. Like, I couldn't I just looked and I was like, I can't do it. So I turned around and
it's basically, George, it's, It's like a, it's more than a rope bridge, but not much more than a rope bridge. And it's what the fishermen would use to come back in with their fish. So it's really not, you know, but it's this huge tourist attraction because it is a beautiful like view, and everybody wants to go across it. But there's a place that you can stop up the road from it and take a picture looking down on it. And I was just fine with that.
Yeah, but
yeah. And we did go on to the Giant's Causeway, which was a big bucket list for me. It was the worst possible weather. The weather gods were not smiling on me for this trip. And going out to the Giant's Causeway in bad weather is just terrible. I try to be Patty positive as much as possible when I'm traveling. But honestly, because you have to wait for a shuttle that takes you down there, unless you want to walk, which is even worse, because then you're just getting rained on for a mile. And you take this crowded shuttle down. And then the rocks, when it's raining, are slippery. So it's really hard to even walk out on them. And it's cold, driving, icy rain. It's like not fun.
And
like
it's not an easy, it's not an easy place to walk around. Even without even if the rocks aren't slippery, it's still a pretty dangerous place to be tooling around in. I wanted to ask you, when I was there, everyone was talking about how they were going to put up railings to keep the tourists from climbing on the rocks. They didn't do that.
No, nope. COVID probably. I saw a dude in a yellow jacket and a first aid bag. That was it. And I mean, it was slippery, dangerous. Oh. And every American there was like, this would never happen in America. This would be roped off. You wouldn't even be able to get near it. I mean,
oh,
you'd be able
to take a picture of it.
So,
there were so many people who went so far out and so far up on top of things. And I mean, I climbed a lot of stuff, but I didn't go as deep as I could have, because I know myself. I know I will fall and break something. So I got to be
that
paramedics, be that travel insurance story that everybody uses to warn people.
I'm so glad I went. I'm so glad I went, but it was miserable. And I have my big girl camera with me on this trip, which is why you haven't seen a lot of pictures, because I have to actually download them and I haven't done that yet. But I left it on the bus and I didn't mean to. I got all the way to the visitor center and I went, I don't have my camera. And I'm so glad I forgot it, because the weather was so bad that no picture I had taken would have been. Yeah. So my iPhone can handle it. I was like, click, click, click. I did go out as far as I felt like I could go without becoming a news story. And and it was so, so cold. I did buy myself a rain jacket, because I did go to Italy first. And in Italy, it was like 100 degrees every day. And in Ireland, it was like 20 degrees every day. It wasn't that cold, but and I was not dressed at all for this weather. So when I got to the visitor center, it became very clear that a poncho was not going to cut it. And so I bought a rain jacket. I'm again glad I did. Yeah, I made several good decisions, including going out there. I'm so glad I did, because had I just chickened out and been like, oh, the weather's too bad, I'll be back one day. No, it's been on my list forever. So I'm glad I went out. Everybody on the bus went out. We all complained about it for, a day afterwards, but we were all glad we did it. So,
yeah, that's usually the way it goes. I mean, it's hit or miss. You can't control how the weather is anywhere, much less alone in Ireland. Well, but at least
you and 2 hours later, it completely stopped raining. So, what can you do? You just shrug and say I mean, we were there when we were there, and that's just how it is. So again, no regrets, zero regrets. It was absolutely gorgeous. It's everything that I wanted it to be. It's everything that I've heard that it is. I feel like I definitely checked something off the bucket list with that. And then we went to Derry.
That's awesome. Did you have ice cream?
No, and I haven't seen the show, and I don't know anything about the Derry girls. And I hear it's hilarious. That city, other than the history of the troubles and the horrible, horrible way people treat each other over religion, which is just horrifying, really. And I grew up during the troubles and I'd heard about it. My parents were like, oh, you don't want to go to Northern Ireland. It's so dangerous there. And the IRA, I mean, that's real. That was stuff that was going on. And hearing like what the underlying causes of that were and just the pure hatred, in a country that grew up with slavery. Yeah. It's horrible. It's just horrible. So, and that city, honestly, other than the history that it has, and how well they've preserved it, it's a city like any other city. And we were there for one night and it was plenty for me. We had a CIE stop at the Walled City Brewery, which I was really looking forward to because brewery. It was fine. The beer was actually quite good. And they had a Vienna lager called Ultravox, which I laughed at. But if you get that, then if you know, you know. Lindsay might be too young, but it's a brewery that actually serves a restaurant. So they don't really, like, I couldn't buy cans of beer. You couldn't even really order pints of beer unless you were eating at the restaurant. We had a sampler. It's a CIE exclusive stop. Again, it was great, but it wasn't like what I expected from a brewery. Like, I would have been ready to try everything, and it wasn't quite like that. So,
did you have any free time when you were there to do like a black taxi tour?
No. In Derry?
Well, no. In Derry or anywhere in Northern Ireland, did you have?
Mm-mm. In Belfast, I might have had some time, but they did do a walking tour, and I felt like I got a good amount out of that. It ended right before lunch, and they had suggested a couple of places for lunch, and I did go to one of those places, and it was fantastic. There was a little bit of shopping that could have been done, but I also had to do some work, and I was by myself, so there was only a few things I really wanted to do. So no, I did not do any separate tour other than what they offer me there. But I got a lot of history while I was there, so I felt pretty good about it.
And then you were off to Westport.
Westport. Have you ever heard of Westport? Has anybody here heard of Westport?
Yeah. It's just the one in Connecticut.
Have you? Okay. No.
Nope.
Not that one. So I had never heard of
it. A little bit different.
And so, yeah. So we headed off to it, and I read a few things before I went because I do a little bit of research. And I was like, oh, that sounds interesting. And that's actually where I celebrated my birthday. So I wanted to look up a few restaurants, and everything is closed on Mondays and Tuesdays in Westport. Not everything. I did find some place to go, but most of the nicer restaurants, the Michelin star restaurants, closed on Monday and Tuesday. And my birthday was on a Tuesday. We were there on Monday and Tuesday. So I did make the most of that situation. We did actually, on the way, we went through County Sligo and Mayo. And I just want to say, we went right by Classavon Castle, which is where the, remember the assassination of the, Mountbatten, the Duke of Mountbatten from, if you've seen The Crown, that's his Irish castle where he lived. And then he was assassinated on a boat, fishing boat. Anyway, we went right by there.
I remember that episode. The Crown.
Yes. Or that moment in history. So that actually, like, we went right by that castle, and she, just before she started talking about it, I'm looking at it, I'm like, that looks like that castle where, and sure enough, that's where it was. So they filmed it there, but also that's actually where it happened. A little bit of history that I didn't expect to get to see, a little bit of The Crown that I got to watch. And then when we got to Westport, we did a little walking tour, and it turns out that Westport is a musician's town. Like, it's like a music town where there's lots and lots of professional musicians, including a couple of famous people who have bought, you know, bars there and have their bars set up there. So I had no idea about any of this going in. And I was like, okay, this is actually maybe a great place to celebrate my birthday. So I did find a place that would give me a reservation at like 5 o'clock at night. Cause by the time I realized everything was closed on Tuesdays, nothing that I wanted online was coming up as open. So I asked my tour guide on Monday night, and she suggested a place, but it was already booked for the next night. So I went in at 5. I'm like, it's just me. I'll take that really crappy table right by the hostess stand. That's fine. They were like, as long as you leave by 7, thanks. Happy birthday to me. I did not tell them it was my birthday. But it was a steak. I had a steak. It was very delicious. I had not had a steak really that whole time that I was there. So did that. And then I went to a pub that we had stopped out on our walking tour, and I I listened to Irish music and it was fantastic. For 2 hours, I just sat there and they were amazing musicians, like really, really good. I ran into two people from the tour who let me sit with them. And then they left to go have dinner since I had gotten the like old person's 5 o'clock special. And so, I was like, I had a table to myself right by the band. And of course, when you're by yourself, this guy from New Jersey sits down at my table because there was nowhere else to sit. He's like, can I sit here? I said, sure. He's with his wife. He's like, is that your boyfriend? Pointing to the flautist from the, you know, the duo. I'm like, no, I'm just a tourist. Oh no, just because I'm here by myself does not mean I'm dating someone in the band.
Were you making googly eyes?
I mean, he was very talented, but no. And I'm also 51 years old, people, but whatever. So I did find out at that pub the whole, and you probably know this, and Lindsay, I'm sure you know this, but you do not order a black and tan in Ireland. Oh. Because it has military connotations that are not positive. But they did serve us a special, which is actually a harp with just a splash of Guinness in it. If you do, by the way, want a black and tan in Ireland, but now you know you're not allowed to call it by that, you call it a half and half, and they will bring you that. But you don't call it a black and tan. It is a little bit like ordering a stormtrooper in Germany. It's just not really looked upon well. So yes, went on to Westport, stayed there for two nights, cutest little hotel. It's a great downtown area. And there's a very old manor house there that has been preserved as much as it can be. Manor houses honestly are terribly built and leak and mold and like all sorts of, but they had the bells that you've seen in Downton Abbey and all the things that make you happy to see a manor house. So really cool to hear the story of that family. And then we went on to Shannon and we went to Galway on the way, went to the Cliffs of Moher, which we had great weather for the Cliffs of Moher again. It wasn't even windy this time. So I would have traded that for the Giant's Causeway since I've been to the Cliffs of Moher before, but it's beautiful, just like it was before. Enjoyed that visit. And then we went to a medieval banquet, and Lindsay and I had gone to a medieval banquet last time. They rerouted us because we were originally supposed to stay at the hotel at Bunready Castle. That was damaged in a fire during COVID, so it's not open right now. The castle is open, but there's nowhere to stay near there. So they rerouted us to this other castle that was great. And the like lead guy from the castle that Lindsay and I went to was there. So I got to chat with him. I was like, you don't remember me. He's like, should I? Do we have a child? very funny guy. So so great time, just like Bunratty Castle, smaller, but the same sort of medieval, kitschy, but still authentic kind of place. And actually I think that castle was in better shape even than Bunratty, which is in great shape. So
did you stop in Sligo? You said you went through.
No, not really. There? Not really. We did a couple of photo stops, but we didn't really get to spend any time there. Yeah. It's definitely someplace I'd like to go back to. That area.
That's where that wood carver, Michael the wood carver, who I'm sure is no longer making wood carvings, but he had a butcher shop in downtown Sligo, and then he retired, but then he pulled all his meat out and started carving wood, these beautiful, intricate wood pieces of art.
Yeah, I had
a great time in Sligo. I really liked it.
Yeah, in Ireland, I didn't do much in the handicraft area. We did see the weaving. I was actually very impressed that with CIE, a lot of these guided tours will sort of force you into shopping stays. They're obligated to do so. And there was always something else close by that we could do. Mm-hmm. With a couple of exceptions. The weaving place was really interesting because they're still hand weaving things. And then they served us Irish coffee, which always warms you up to buy something. So I appreciated that. And the sheepdog, when Lindsay and I went before, we had a sheepdog demonstration, which was fine, but I had trouble hearing anything. It wasn't really very well organized. This one, we had the little hearing things.
You had the headsets?
Yeah, the headsets, but it was pouring rain again. So as great as those dogs were, there's only so long that you could stand outside in the pouring rain. The dogs were great. They were like, whatever, rain on me, that's cool. But then they took us in for hot tea. And honestly, I have never been a black tea person. I've only rarely started drinking hot tea at all. And they served us the best cream tea with clotted cream. And, you know, as soon as I got back to the United States, I'm like, where can I get clotted cream? I started looking it up. I'm like, I got to be able to find it somewhere around here. I can only get it at Whole Foods and it only comes in a little jar like this. But I'm addicted to black tea now and like black cream tea.
With clotted
like,
cream.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. I love so. Tea. That. Did you bring home tea?
I did not. I didn't really have an opportunity to buy any. So as soon as I came home, I bought some Irish breakfast tea. It, honestly, there was nowhere that we stopped where it was like
where
it was
a
thing where I could do. Yeah. And that was so late in the trip. So, but I did, I have studied up on tea since then and I've bought a good amount of black tea and I have bought the clotted cream. I can get fresh scones at our French bakery and, but I can't do that like every day or else I'd be, you know, I wouldn't fit on my screen anymore here, but I definitely, and Chris was intrigued. He was like, okay, I've heard of clotted cream as most of us have, but I didn't think it would actually be good. I'm like, no, try it. So he did. He was like, oh, this is pretty good. Like there's really not much to it, but because it's in Ireland, it's and anywhere else other than the United States, it's not pasteurized. That's why you can't really find it here, but they do have a pasteurized version. That's a British import that they make for us Yanks who can't take our unpasteurized dairy. So, and it was actually quite good. I'm not complaining. It's unlike, you know, cheese when it's meant to be unpasteurized and it's actually pasteurized. That's not as good, but, so no, it was a great trip and I would recommend an escorted tour to anybody. It definitely was busy and exhausting in many ways, but I saw so much. And as a solo traveler, so great, so easy. And I did meet people. I actually was social.
Wow.
I was nice to people, but then I could also like just be by myself sometimes too, which was nice. So highly recommend. Yeah. Glad I did it. And I will probably do another CIE tour.
Yeah. I think I would do another CIE tour too. They're very, very solid product for what it is. You get your money's, yep. I think you get more than your money's worth.
Yeah. That. And that's on Scotland because what could be better than seeing Scotland with an Irish guide? That's gotta be amazing, right?
Gotta be.
I want to go with on that one because I think.
That's gotta be fantastic. Fantastic.
All right. Well, that's our show for this week. Thanks for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends about us. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of OutlanderTravel.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We would love to hear from you. And don't forget to like and subscribe on YouTube. On behalf of Elizabeth, Lindsay, and myself, George, thanks for joining us this week. Gotta fly.